Morning. We are certainly glad that each one of you are here, and the Lord's blessed us with a beautiful day, and we have a wonderful text to study in Acts chapter 8, and I invite you to open up to that passage in the Bible. The New Testament is filled with stories of people whose lives were dramatically changed very quickly and suddenly. There's a story of a house nestled deep into the Rocky Mountains. It is said that this cabin or house sits upon the continental divide. The story goes that the roof was made such that if a raindrop fell and landed on one side of the house, then that meant it would end in the Pacific Ocean. If it fell and landed on the other side of the pitch of the roof, it would end up in the Atlantic Ocean. In other words, it was perfectly settled upon the continental divide so that all the water from that point flowed either to the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean. As you think about that cabin in the woods, our lives are often like those raindrops that fall upon it. A series of decisions, or maybe one decision that we choose to make, often determines the course, and maybe even, and rightly so, the eternal destination, our eternal home of where we end up. Sometimes choices that people make, or the one choice that people make, will lead them on a course that will ultimately gain heaven. And others make choices, and sometimes a choice, that leads them down a path that will ultimately end in hell. This morning we see a man who's traveling, and he's going to make a decision this day that's going to lead him down a path that will take him eventually to his reward in heaven. And I want you to think about the salvation of the eunuch. Our text is Acts chapter 8. And in this story, beginning at verse 26, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And there's a desert place. It's a desolate area. It's not a waterless area, but it's an area that is desert in its terrain, and also in the amount of people that's there. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, a queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." And Philip ran. He was excited about this Bible study. He was excited about sharing the gospel with the Ethiopian. He ran to this man and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He began by saying, "Do you know what you're reading? Can I share more with you and help you understand what the Bible is teaching here?" And the man said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And then they began at that passage of Scripture. We know it as Isaiah 53. We studied it last Sunday evening. From the great prophet Isaiah, which prophesied the coming of Jesus. And he teaches him and preaches to him, verse number 35, the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Here is water. What prevents me or what hinders me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. In verse 40, or at the end of verse 39, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. This morning I want us to focus in on some admirable qualities about the eunuch. And I want us to look at who this man was, and we'll see some characteristics for our own life in who he was. Notice, first of all, that he was devout. He was a devout man. He was likely a Gentile who had converted to Judaism and was determined to follow the old law. You see a picture of Jerusalem here, and he had just gone up to Jerusalem and now was heading back home to his home in Ethiopia. Now, it's not the same Ethiopia that we think of on our maps today, but rather it was probably the land of Cush, which was south of Egypt, often considered to be the southernmost part of the world by the Romans and the Greeks. It was the land of Cush. It is said that this was about a 1,500-mile journey from Jerusalem down into Cush. Think about that. It's estimated that at best, likely, he would travel about 35 miles a day by chariot. if he traveled 35 miles a day on these dirty roads, and also the dangers that were often on those roads, especially for someone who apparently has some wealth and some influence because he's reading a copy of the Bible, which was a rarity at that time, and he's in a chariot. Think about the faith that this man had and the determination that this man had to want to go up to Jerusalem for a festival, to go to the temple to worship. And yet, as a Gentile, as a convert, as a proselyte, one who had following the Jewish law, he was not even allowed to go into the temple area. He could go into the outer courts, the Gentile courts. Yet he was a devout person. To travel such a long way and risk so much, he's reading the scriptures. He was devout. He was sincere in his faith. But as you consider his sincerity, I want you to realize he was also wrong, wasn't he? He was ignorant at this time and he was uninformed. He had traveled 1,500 miles to go up to worship, yet he was still worshiping incorrectly, wasn't he? He had not yet learned about Jesus. And of course, Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, and the day of Pentecost has happened. And he has not yet learned about worshiping, as Jesus says in John 4, verse 24, in spirit and in truth. He hadn't learned about that the old covenant, the covenant he was trying to follow, was now obsolete. And there was a new covenant under Jesus. You see, we can be devout. We can be sincere. But we can still have much more we need to learn so that we can be properly informed. But he's also a respected man. He describes him as a eunuch of the court official of Candace. Candace is not one queen, but it was the title for the queens of Ethiopia. In other words, just like we think about Pharaoh or the term king, the term Candace was the term for the queen who led the land of Cush or Ethiopia. And so he was a servant under her. He was a treasurer, someone who was trustworthy with the funds. Eunuchs in the ancient times were often considered to be very dependable and very trustworthy, someone that was often put in charge of money. He's very respected. He was in a position of prominence. His chariot was probably not a military chariot for like battle, but was probably more what you and I would think of as like a wagon. It might have had four wheels, most likely. Probably had a driver. That's why he commands the chariot to stop. And that's how he's able to be reading. He probably is not reading and driving, but rather he's probably sitting back in the chariot. Probably had a canopy over the chariot. He's in a very respected position. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons why God sent Philip to him. And some other writers outside of the New Testament will say that he influenced and carried the gospel to Cush. I think he's a very influential person to carry the gospel to that area. He's respected. He was a man of prominence. But notice this. There's a lot of people today driving around in really fancy chariots. There's a lot of people that have a lot of money, and they're very respected. They have a lot of dependability. And all those things are very important, being dependable. And even there's a sense of being successful is good. But he still needed Jesus. His success or his personal morals and trustworthiness did not mean he was saved by his own merits. He needed Jesus. Notice, thirdly, he was a Bible reader. It's rare for a Jewish person at this time to have a copy of God's Word, yet he had a copy. He had just been up to Jerusalem, and it's interesting that he's reading Isaiah 53 because Jerusalem was awash in the teaching of the apostles. And we read earlier in Acts chapter 8 that it was because of the persecution that these people had been driven out of Jerusalem. We know that back just earlier there had been 3,000 people obey the gospel, so Jerusalem had a lot of Christians in it. Talks about 5,000 people obeying the gospel. So there's a lot of Christians. He probably had heard much about Jesus. He probably maybe had even heard some Christian preachers talking about the Messiah. And one of the most often used texts by Christian preachers was Isaiah 53. So he's reading and he's trying to figure this out. These people are saying this. What is the prophet saying? Is this true?
You know, I believe not in miraculous means of the word here, but I believe in providentially working of God in the reading of our Bibles. When you're going through something or when you're searching for something, read the Bible. It will not always be the case, but many times exactly what you need will be found in your reading. And it often seems to be the case that if you are a part of a regular reading schedule, that just what you need to be reading is what you will be reading that day. You see, it allows God to providentially work through His Word and to speak to us, once again, not miraculously or audibly, but He speaks to us through His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, I can read statistics about America and Bible reading, but really I'm more concerned about Christians and Bible reading. And do we know the Scriptures? Do we read our Bibles like we should? And if we do not, we are basically putting duct tape over the mouth of God. And we're saying, God, I don't want to listen to you today. He was a Bible reader.
But then notice, he was not only a Bible reader, but he was teachable. He was teachable. In verses 30 through 35, when he asked Philip, "How can I understand unless someone guide me?" Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Now, I want to make an observation here, and it applies to us and applies to other people. It seems to me that this is one where a lot of people fall off the wagon. And we can fall off the wagon too. There's a lot of people in our world, a lot of people in the church, who are devout, who are respected, who are faithful Bible students and Bible readers, but they're not teachable. There's people that read their Bibles and they're devout, they have a faith, and they're respected, they're dependable, honest, good people, but they're not teachable. They don't have a heart that says, "I want to learn." And all of us can easily think about people who are like that. Yet all of us need to as well realize we are sometimes like that. And we need to be careful who we allow to guide us. But we also need to always be open to learning and open to expanding our knowledge of the Scriptures. And what so many people do is they have a preconceived notion of a text or of a passage, and they put that pattern upon that passage. And so people come to a passage like this one here, Acts chapter 8, and they're reading about the Ethiopian eunuch. And instead of actually reading what the eunuch does to be saved, he hears the gospel, he confesses Jesus, and he is baptized into Christ to have a salvation. They apply what they've heard about baptism or what they've heard about salvation upon the text. Instead of listening to the text and listening to the book of Acts, Acts 2:38, for example, when Peter would say on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Notice that the eunuch was teachable. He said, "How can I?" He asked for help. He was humble enough to ask. And notice that Philip preached unto him Jesus. Now, I want you to know something. And you've probably heard this point made before, but the preaching of Jesus here is broader than just Jesus died on the cross. But the preaching of Jesus here involves what we must do to be saved. You see, we don't just tell people about Jesus, we also tell them how they can respond to Jesus. Because when they come upon some water, the eunuch says, "Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" So that means Philip had taught him about how to respond to Jesus and about immersion in water. If you go back to chapter 8, verse 12 of the same passage we're studying. When Philip had preached to the Samaritans, and they had believed as Philip preached the good news about the kingdom of God,
and the name of Jesus. The preaching of Jesus involves preaching about the church of Jesus. People say, I don't want to hear much about the church. I just want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear much about how to live. I just want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear a lot about the authority of Jesus. I just want to hear about the love of Jesus. Wait a minute. It's a package deal. Jesus and preaching Jesus involves telling people about his church, telling people how to live, telling people how to be saved, telling people about the kingdom of God and about the name of Jesus. We must be teachable. And so the eunuch heard about Jesus. And he responded to Jesus. In the fifth place, he was decisive. Notice, after hearing this story, he says, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down in the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now here's where a lot of people jump off the ship. And it's easy to do. I'm with you so far, preacher, but now you're wanting me. Yeah, that's right, the raindrops are falling. You've got to make a choice. Where's your path going to lead? You see, I don't know how many people that put off and put off making a decision they know they should make. And then when they do it, they'll say, when they decide whether it's to repent and come back to the Lord, whether it's to give their life to Christ and put Christ on in baptism, when they do it, they'll say, you know why? I don't know why I waited so long. I don't know what was holding me back. And lots of times it's just the pride. Lots of times it's just the peer pressure and the social stigmatism that goes along with it. We all have our personal reasons. Maybe it's some kind of sin that we don't want to give up. Maybe it's family tradition, whatever it is. But notice this eunuch, when he learned the truth, he said, stop, here's water, let's do it now. Let's do it now. He didn't say, I want to wait and talk to my wife, talk to my family about this when I get back home. I want to talk to the queen about this when I get back home. He said, stop. I want to be baptized now.